Enjoying this episode of The Late Show Pod Show? Then head to cohst.app/lateshow or visit the link in the description to fill out our quick 2-minute survey all about getting to know you.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Ed Sullivan Theater in New York City, it's Stephen Colbert.
So much. Hello, John.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, friends. Welcome. Welcome, one and all. Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you all to The Late Show. I am your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, you hear that, John? You hear that?
Yeah, I hear that.
That can only mean one thing. We are live, ladies and gentlemen. Coming to you live, coast to coast, all around the globe. After episode one of this summer's most compelling drama, the January 6th committee hearings, it's like Stranger Things. We met the monster years ago, and we're pretty sure the Russians are involved. And like the stars of Stranger Things, I have noticeably aged. Now, the monster in question is former President Mango Unchained. Prior to these hearings, Republicans tried to claim that tonight was going to be a nothing burger. They were wrong. It was a juicy double cheeseburger stuffed with burger between two buns made of burger smothered in a zesty burger sauce. There was so much burger, they jammed this 5 pounds of burger in a 3-pound bag. There was so much burger that they replaced the Capitol Dome with a sesame seed bun. It was such a juicy burger that Fox News knew that even their viewers would be tempted to take a bite, which is why, and this is true, for the first hour of his show opposite the hearings, Tucker Carlson took no commercial breaks. Do you understand what that means? Fox News is willing to lose money to keep their viewers from flipping over and accidentally learning information. But I'm not surprised. I'm not crazy.
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Come on, man.
But I'm really not surprised. That's the first rule of any cult. Never leave the compound. Second rule, present your testicles to the tanning station. Also based on a true story. Now, We've heard many of these details before, but it made my heart well with gratitude to see the committee weave them together in a compelling case that January 6th was not a spontaneous gathering of vape-fueled neo-knuckleheads that got out of control. It was, in fact, an attack premeditated by the President of the United States to prevent the peaceful transfer of power for the first time in our nation's history. And first up, committee chairman and man saying who's got two thumbs and one is my head, Benny Thompson. Chairman Thompson kicked off the hearing with a little of his bio.
I'm from a part of the country where people justify the actions of slavery, the Ku Klux Klan, and lynching.
So you were born on Twitter? Thompson spoke about what united the bipartisan members of the committee, as well as Americans everywhere.
East Coast, West Coast, and the Heartland, all of us have one thing in common.
If you fry it, we will eat it.
Oh, yeah.
close to my heart. Yeah.
Thompson played damning footage of one of the former president's toadiest of toadies, former Attorney General Bill Barr.
I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bullshit.
Watch your language, Toad Man. You kiss your princess with that mouth? Then Thompson reminded us just how serious the Capitol riot was.
As we provide answers to American people about January 6th, it's important that we remember exactly what took place. That this was no tourist visit to the Capitol.
Yes, this was no tourist visit. There were no children. In fact, I'm pretty sure it was all dads who lost custody. Then... Then it was time for the ranking Republican, Wyoming Representative Liz Cheney, seen here, shocked as you are, that she's the hero of this story. Cheney promised these hearings will bring the receipts.
You will see evidence of what motivated this violence.
Wow. They have footage of the former president's dad not hugging him? Then... You gotta imagine. You gotta imagine that's part of it. Then Cheney hit the former president where it hurts him, right in the Ivanka. Because they rolled in footage of the first daughter's reaction in her testimony to Barr calling her father's charges of election fraud total BS.
I respect Attorney General Barr. So I accepted what he was saying.
That must have been a bittersweet moment for the president. She finally screwed him. You okay? Deep breath, Sean. Deep. Keep breathing. It's gonna be a long summer. Cheney also showed a clip of General Mark Milley explaining that Vice President Pence was the only leader who made any attempt to call for defense of the Capitol that day.
There were two or three calls with Vice President Pence. He was very animated.
You know how crazy things have gotta be? For Mike Pence to get very animated? Normally. Normally, the wildest he gets is wearing khakis with only one pleat. Then the committee played some never-before-seen footage of the insurrection. And if you need any more proof that the violence was motivated by the former presidents, here's one of the rioters quoting him directly.
Mike Pence didn't have the courage to do what should have been done to protect our country and our Constitution, giving states a chance to certify a corrected set of facts, not the fraudulent or inaccurate ones which they were asked to previously certify. The U.S. demands the truth.
They were reading his tweets directly as they stormed the Capitol. The only way he could be directing them more is if he had sent them over IKEA instructions for the gallows. Hangman pens. Now, and here's the dealio. Here's the thing, my friends. Yeah. Here's the thing. That's not far from the truth, as Cheney explained.
And aware of the rioters' chance to hang Mike Pence, the president responded with this sentiment, quote, "Maybe our supporters have the right idea. Mike Pence, quote, deserves it."
Wow. That's a hell of a reward for Pence's 4 years of boot-licking loyalty. It's like you're retiring and your boss gives you a gold watch with the inscription, "You ticked me off. Time to meet Jesus." Then we got to hear from a couple of witnesses, starting with Officer Carolyn Edwards, one of the first Capitol Police injured. Officer Edwards spoke strongly about her views on that day.
I was an American, standing face to face with other Americans, asking myself how many times, many, many times, how we had gotten here.
Well, it's kind of complicated, but it all started at the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2011 when a black president made fun of a man with a very big ego and a very small penis. And then it just kind of moved from there. It just kind of... The committee also heard from documentarian and Men's Warehouse spokesman saying, "You're going to be haunted by the way I look." Nick Quested. In the run-up to January 6th, Quested was embedded with the Proud Boys, and his crew captured horrifying footage like this.
Freedom!
Mel Gibson's career has really gone downhill. Quested. Quested laid out insider details of the Proud Boys' activities, including what they did just before the riot.
We went for lunch. We went for tacos.
May I remind you, January 6th was a Wednesday. Tearing up the Constitution is one thing, but they violated the sanctity of Taco Tuesday. Then, we went for tacos. Then Officer Edwards described the Proud Boys' rallying cry.
They came up chanting F-U-C-K, Antifa.
That might be the most shocking testimony of the evening. The Proud Boys can spell? And soon after that, the night was over. Night one came to a close. After 2 hours of documentary evidence and testimony, we learned that this insurrectionist conspiracy was, like everything else associated with that last administration, exactly what you thought, but worse than you could have imagined. The next episode drops on Monday morning, and to quote the former president, "Be there. We'll be wild." We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, John Batiste takes the Colbert questionnaire.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is such, you know, I think I've mentioned this before on the show. I don't take this job for granted. It's a wonderful occupation. I get to be with all these beautiful people every night. I get to talk to incredible guests over here. I get to share the stage with John and this amazing band over here every night.
Yeah.
And we get to talk a little bit, John. We get to talk a little bit, but never enough.
Yeah.
You want to come on over here and talk some more? Yeah. Come on over, John. Oh, John, we've known each other for 7-8 years now.
Yes.
I was looking at some photos of the two of us over this last break week that we had together. Back in 2014, when you had much less hair and I had much more chin. And and here's the thing, is that we got to know each other that year before we ever came on the show, and we have become dear friends in that time period. You've come to my house.
Yes, yes. We've had some good meals and good conversations.
Many Thanksgivings together with you and your parents, your beautiful wife, Zuleika, and you've come down and stay at our house in South Carolina.
Yes.
And,
Low country.
The low country, that's right. We've shared recipes, and as much as I know you and as much as I love you, there's always more to know about someone.
That's true.
And there's just never enough time right here on the stage to do it. So what I'd like to do tonight is something called the Colbert Questionnaire.
Oh, snap! Oh, yeah!
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I'm
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Question number one, John Batiste. What is the best sandwich?
That's a controversial question.
That's what we do. I mean, we're not afraid of these questions on this show.
I know. You get up in there. I'm over here. I'm just getting used to that. I have to say it's a hot dog.
Okay. Wait a second here. You understand the landmine you just set off in the sandwich sphere. Because not only it's a delightful snack meal
Incredible.
Treat,
multi-purpose,
but not everyone accepts it as sandwich.
I know, but if you look at it and you see the bread, and then you see the meat, in between the bread, that looked like a sandwich to me.
Well, I mean. I normally don't do follow-ups in the Colbert Questionnaire, but, you know, I got to follow up that with... Then, by that same logic, is a taco a sandwich?
A taco? Well, it's a shell.
It's made of flour or corn, but could be corn, could be flour. Go ahead.
Well, if a taco is a sandwich, then would you call a... quesadilla sandwich or any
sort of... I'm not the one calling a hot dog a sandwich. I'm asking the questions. We're not getting to know me tonight, sir.
But if you look at a hot dog...
And I frequently do.
The question is what makes it not a sandwich?
The fact that the two pieces of bread do not separate.
You can eat a hot dog with the bread separate, I assure you.
It's dangerous, though.
Sometimes
then
it
that's
happens.
A sausage hoagie. It turns into a sausage hoagie if the bread is separated. Or a grinder for those of you in the Philadelphia area.
See, I'm going to have to go with the late, great Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on this one.
Who,
as you said, know, that a hot dog is a sandwich.
That's true. I want to warn the affiliates, we might go late tonight. We might go late.
Oh, yeah, we got to live.
What?
Live.
Oh, yeah, we got to keep moving here. I do want to point out that I would have gone with shrimp po' boy.
See?
No, we're moving on. No,
but
you blew
I thought
it.
About... No.
I knew you thought about that.
A shrimp po' boy, you can't eat that every day or you will surely die.
There are many sandwiches that are a slow death sentence. Have you had a patty melt, my friend?
Yes, I have.
That is a cry for help. We must move on.
Okay,
I'm sorry. The judges are telling me we have to move on. What's one thing you own that you should really throw out?
Oh, I got a bunch of shoes I should throw. Way too many sneakers.
Okay. What's the scariest animal?
A roach.
Yeah. Sneaky.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. And you're from the New Orleans area, and they grow them like cattle down there.
Oh, yeah.
Size of your thumb. They have to have cowboys come in and rope them.
You got
to
wrangle them suckers, and they fly.
Yeah, especially when you open the cabinet in your face.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Palmetto bugs.
Ugh.
Apples or oranges, my friend?
Oh, wow.
Don't say hot dog.
Oranges.
Oranges. All right, all right. Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
I did ask Michelle Obama for her autograph on her book.
That's an autograph.
Yeah.
Did you get it?
Yes. I never just on a piece of paper, I haven't done that.
That's good enough. That'll do. Yeah. That'll do. Okay. What do you think happens when we die?
Ooh. Well, I think no one ever really dies. I think our body passes away and our soul meets the creator of all things. And what we've done, the love we've given in this life, all the things that we've done, that lives on forever. So that's why it's important what we do here right now, because once we're in the next realm, still be here for the next generation.
What's your favorite action movie?
Oh, my goodness. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump.
That...
You don't like Forrest Gump?
That is to action movie as hot dog is to sandwich. I accept, and I move on.
He was running.
I understand he was running.
I'm telling you.
You have a very low standard for action.
Running. It was action.
Sure,
he
sure.
Was going
Air Bud is an action movie in that case. Okay, window or aisle?
I like the aisle.
Because?
Because if you're on the aisle, you can get out quicker. If you got to go to the bathroom and you know, you get a little bit of extra space, especially if you in the back of the plane. Mm. That's your only respite. You got that aisle to stick your leg out, because nobody coming back there.
Sure.
That's a life hack right there.
That's a John Batiste life hack.
You see? I like that.
That's your podcast, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is your favorite smell?
See, I've watched these so much, I didn't think of this one. Petrichor.
Oh, that's the when the rain comes in the heat of the summer, that smell, that smell of the rain
yes,
in the summertime?
Absolutely.
Petrichor.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Wow, that's a beautiful word, too.
Petrichor, it's Greek. Petrus is stone, and ichor is something like the fluid in the veins of the gods.
Yeah, the ichor. The demons of the gods, ichor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, the blood of the gods, the stone blood of the gods.
Yes.
That's nice. Least favorite smell?
Ooh, a lot of them. least favorite smell is fear.
Sting said the same thing.
He did.
You and Sting have a lot in common, or one thing in common.
One thing.
What is the most used app on your phone?
Probably between the the Bible app and Instagram. I check both every day.
Cats or dogs?
Let's see. Well, I have a lot of great moments with cats that I didn't own. But overall, I've had more dogs, so I'm going to go with dogs.
All right. Why? Here's a follow-up. Rare Colbert question or follow-up. Why in jazz do you complimentary say that cat?
Cats have this the archetype of the cat is coolness and agility, calm under pressure. You got to be agile to play jazz because you got to think on your feet. You never know what's coming next. And it's like a cool cat. That's a bad cat. This cat can go. You know?
Yeah. I can dig it, Daddy-O.
Hey!
You only get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Ooh. Ooh! That's the hardest question in the whole thing.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
One song.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Nipperdy, number...
Eric Satie?
Yes.
Wow.
That's one you could listen to forever. Or... Lotus Blossom by Billy Strayhorn. Or Reflections in D by Duke Ellington. It's gotta be something that when you're listening to it, you can hear new things, but it's forever, so you're gonna hear it all. So it has to be something that is healing you, it's regenerating you, or it's giving you something that's like a daily bread every time you hear it. So that's what I would pick, one of those kind of, Air on a G String.
Sure.
This a hard one. I could go on forever. So I know we gotta keep going.
We should put out an album of just the answers.
You know what
that
I mean?
Give us. Okay, what number am I thinking of?
$412.
No. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
Another hall. Trying to change the world.
John Batiste.
Hey!
Congratulations. You are known.
I'm known.
And I, these people are here.
I'm known.
I am so glad that, I'm so glad you came over. We had a moment to do this.
Yes.
Because these people don't know, but John is going to be taking the rest of the summer off because he's going to take a little personal time, and as well you should, for
yes.
all the best reasons.
Yes,
and
indeed.
I'm so happy that you're doing that. It's the right thing to do, and we will miss you, but Lewis and the band are going to kill it every night, just like they did when you were out. The Color Purple.
Yes!
And...
Thanks. Where you at?
All right. And you hit those apps every day.
Yeah.
And you have your daily bread. And we'll see you in September.
Absolutely.
I love you, John.
Love you.
This has been the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying the Late Show Pod Show, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch the Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You don't want to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount+.